This is WHFR Journal from WHFR Dearborn. Local news and views coming up right now for the next hour. Your favorite local public affairs show. What else is there? It's getting started right now. Hi, this is WHFR Journal. It's the new episode of it. That's why we call it the new WHFR Journal. This is today. It is July the 11th and 2008, of course, if you haven't checked recently. Jay Kornick with you here today in the studio live with Ned Apigian, whose microphone I'm turning on now. Good morning. Good afternoon, Ned.
Good afternoon.
I'm still on the morning schedule of the show, but I thought we would start with your story about, you actually went over to the Dearborn Farm Market that began today, and we've been announcing that Dearborn, the Chamber of Commerce of Dearborn has organized that, I'm sure, along with the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority merchants and so on. But tell us, first of all, in the press release, I think it gave the hours. It's in the West Dearborn parking lots between their two parking towers, and I think it's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.?
Right, I was going to read the article.
Oh, do it right now.
The Guard gives. Go ahead. It's not that long, and it's interesting. I drove by it. There's a detour in the city from Military and Michigan Avenue, and that's how I came upon it. And I said, that's the...
hey, that's a great way to get traffic into the shopping center. Have a detour so you can't avoid it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Anyhow, this article is by Jason Carmel Davis, and Dearborn Chamber of Commerce event manager Peggy Richard said everything is all set for the opening of the farmers market and artisan market. That's today, Friday, July 11th. The market is open at 9 a.m. and will close at 2 p.m., so you got an hour to run over there. It will be on from July the 11th through October 10th, and held between the two parking decks behind the West Village Commons between Tenney and Howard Streets. The event is sponsored by the AAA Michigan and the Henry Ford Medical Center Fairlane. The market has been in the works for more than a year, according to Richard, who also said area restaurants have expressed interest in participating in the event, which will feature fresh produce, flowers, arts and crafts, entertainment, children's activities, and a master gardener program.
Hmm. And what did you see today?
Actually, I didn't want to stare too long. It seemed I was looking for a whole bunch of fruits and vegetables, and the other part was kind of like it was a little bit of a surprise that there were a lot of people walking towards it, and that will find a good use for those two parking structures, right? Thank God. I don't know how much it costs to build them.
What are they? Are they holding up the tent for this area, or are they just landmarks?
They're defining the space.
Oh. I have to say, I did actually park in one of them the other day, a couple days ago in West Dearborn. Uh-huh. I want folks to know they cost the same amount of money, as the meter parking, which is 50 cents an hour, but there is a real human being there at the gate who will take change when you check out. So you just get a ticket at the beginning, and when you're coming out, they'll give you change. And, of course, they tell me 50 cents an hour is cheap or is certainly comparable to other downtown areas in southwest Michigan here area. And we're now doing this farmers market every Friday, as Ned said, through October 10th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I'm sure that there might even be more people, more vendors than that, picking up on this. I was intending to swing by there this morning, too. because, to give the report, but also to maybe pick up some locally grown produce. And we want to support all the local farmers and people that have even small gardens that are willing to share their produce with us. Hopefully it doesn't have any nasty pesticides or things like that on it, but you never know. Even small gardeners can go out and buy that those chemicals. So it's something to ask about, I think, if you talk to these people. But it's a great idea to support local area merchants and food production on a small scale. And so do check it out. Try to put on your schedules in the future here in Dearborn, West Dearborn, south of Michigan Avenue, just a little bit west of Howard Street. In fact, where the first parking structure is, Howard, between Howard and Tenney. And, of course, you can see those because the parking structures are at least, 3 or 4 stories tall there. And so you can't miss that. Now, I think there might be some free parking. Well, it's probably no free parking directly there unless you go across the railroad tracks. But it's very, very convenient. And, folks, the parking structure, just so you know, doesn't cost any more. And I kind of like it because, hey, it keeps some shade on my car. So when I come out from the stores and that, it's not all heated up and super hot in the summer. So you get the shade for free if you park in the parking structure there.
And the snow in the winter might be helpful. You don't have to brush off your car.
Yeah, you always avoid that. Plus, there is a person there and monitoring cameras. So there's actually some security issue, too, that the parking structure needs to have those, of course, because they can't have people standing on every level. But they're able to monitor what's going on through the cameras because of the office staff that's down there. So there's,
is it clear getting in and out of it? How do you circulate through it? Some of them are complex.
Just the usual circle up, circle down, but there's plenty of space. They did design, I know they're redesigning the parking lots in West Dearborn now. They've remanufactured them so that, number one, they're only meters. There's no person at a gate booth anymore. And they have widened those access and entry points. In fact, even included
a few more. So what happens to the free 30 minutes with the meter?
They just don't come by and ticket you in the first 30 minutes or something. I mean, I don't know. They have meter maids or meter persons going by regularly to check those things out to see if the if you didn't put any money in the counter when they come by and they put a mark on the tire or something, and when they come by 30 minutes later, if there's no if there's still no money in the meter, then they will give you a ticket probably.
Oh. So seems like the cost of that is worse than the attendant.
I'm not sure how long, it's just done on random check. So I think you can get away with a little more than 30 minutes if you had to. Not that I'm recommending that, because it is relatively inexpensive. And you don't just have to have quarters, but the machine will gobble up dimes and nickels too. So although people have suggested that one of the changes you make in the meters is what they have in other areas too, install meters. Of course, it means they have to take all the meters out and put all new meters in, but have these sort of like debit cards, little credit cards that you can buy a couple of dollars worth of change, and then you just slide it in and slide it out, and it automatically subtracts it from that card. So these cards are used at Wayne State University for all their students at all their parking lots. They use them all the time down there, I understand. And it's a system that's been in many places for a long, long time. And so people that want to frequently, park in West Dearborn or East Dearborn, you don't have to always worry about having change or always parking in the parking structure where there's a person that can give you the change, of course. And when you check out, just have the card, just slide it in, comes back out. But every now and then you have to go to some sort of device, either one of the parking structures or one of the stores. You have to know how can you load it up, where can you put money back into that card. So that's another issue. But there are such things. They work just fine once they get in place, and I would hope we could move to that. But as Mayor O'Reilly said in February, they're going to make those access and those lanes a little bit bigger in these lots, so that that was really a problem. They made the whole thing almost impassable. I had a small SUV at the time. I mean small. And I couldn't even get into a parking spot without a second turn. You know, if there was two cars on both sides, I had to turn once and then back up and then turn again. And anybody with a larger car than that, it was almost impossible in these small lots. So they've made changes to those. And the parking structure is always was well designed and had good access, you know, to the spots in them. Nobody's ever complained about the parking structure and how that was designed. Either structure, they're the same. Just that people haven't been going there and haven't been using them. So farmers market may be one of those ideas that's going to help, and we think it's good in many ways. So thank you, Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, for pulling that together. And it's apparently the event has also got some sponsors. So there must be like booths set up by AAA and also Henry Ford Medical Center of Fairlane. So that's good too. Some of the cost of whatever the costs are there is being underwritten by those two sponsors. So thank you, AAA Michigan. And
you know
Henry
what
Ford
they
Fairlane.
Should do? They ought to have free parking in the structure from 10 to 2.
Yeah, they've recently.
That would encourage everybody to go over there.
Well, yeah, during the farmer's market. Yeah, right there at the structures.
Right.
That's cool. They might need to do that if nobody shows up.
I'll tell you one thing. That parking problem discourages me from doing anything around there. If I got to buy bread at Panera's, I'll go to Ford Road.
I understand.
In Dearborn Heights, just because of the noise there.
But see, you and myself, we've been around the town a lot, and we're just not used to it. We're just not into that. If we lived in Royal Oak all our life, we'd be used to it, because that's the way it is downtown Royal Oak, you know.
I guess.
So, but I agree with you. It's just so much easier and more convenient. Oh, well. I'm going to briefly look at the Sunday Times, Herald, and Press and Guide and turn the pages on the air right in front of you here. A lot of summer festivals happening tonight. Taylor has begun their weekend summer festival, co-sponsored by Meijer, the big department, whatever, food store.
Where do they do it at?
It's at their only place.
Their
Civic Center Park is called Heritage Park.
Oh, yeah.
It's on 12111 Pardee Road. In past years, I've gone to some great fireworks displays down there in Taylor.
Pardee and North Line?
I don't know that, but it's a free concert tonight. We love to promote free concerts. Terry Clark, country music superstar herself, Terry, that's T-E-R-R-I, will perform at 8:45 p.m. leading into the fireworks, coming up later. Preceding her at 7 p.m., maybe a bigger name to many people, Josh Grayson from American Idol fame, and he happens to be a native of Westland, Michigan. How often does that happen? But I remember his name, that he won some sort of American Idol contest in the last 5,000 years.
Is that 3 days?
Yes, it is all 3 days, but there is some charge for the performances apparently on the other nights, but I do know it's a special free performance tonight. Josh Grayson at 7 p.m. and Terry Clark at 8:45, and then the big fireworks display will be after that at about, I assume, about 10 p.m. So that's for folks down in Taylor or anybody who wants to drive down there and get a head start, okay?
There's no charge in homecoming.
Nope.
For their performances.
Nope. Dearborn Homecoming is no charge either, and we'll talk about that. We're going to be there again this year.
We got to compare notes.
Yes, we will. But that's the first weekend in August. So we'll let me finish with Dearborn Press and Guide here, see what's happening. In Dearborn Heights, you may know about this, there was a deal to develop incinerator land that the incinerator down there was really, and that has fallen through. Just very briefly, a proposal to create a mixed-use development, I guess that means commercial and residential, on the city's largest plot of undeveloped land has fallen through. And, of course, I think you were going to make a comment about Dearborn's development of the Montgomery Ward's facility.
Right.
We'll follow up on that.
Yeah,
but
later.
But this was a big plan, and it has not worked out either. It looks like it's very difficult for cities to get these kinds of developments rolling.
In this economic market, no one's going to develop anything.
There is that catchphrase, in this economic market. Senator John McCain, one of his advisors, current Senator Phil Graham, made a comment that got on the news. Yeah, too many people are whiners. Of course, he was specifically apparently referring to some lenders, in other words, some banks.
That's what he said.
That were whining about, you know, losing, getting all the mortgages, not getting their usual income. But the comment was intended, taken by, well, maybe Democrats anyway, and expanded to include, the news media in general want to sensationalize anything they can because it is 24 hours a day news and not much happens. It's very important in their criteria. So if they get anything that they can sensationalize, they will. And so it was intended to imply that maybe John McCain thought that all Americans who were complaining about the difficult economic times might be referred to as whiners in his book. And it's true that, hey, there's that old phrase, and it's certainly true, always think about this, is the glass half full or half empty?
Well, it made him uncomfortable.
Well, I bet.
As I recall, somebody asked him whether he was going to be the Secretary or the Treasury after that remark, and he thought he would be the ambassador to Belarus.
Somewhere in...
And they might not want
is that north of Mongolia? Somewhere in the... No, I guess in the eastern... block of states in Europe.
Yeah, it's on the eastern, the former Soviet Union's western borders.
Yeah.
And they are the most happiest to probably come back to Russia, the Belarusians.
Not having a good time in that country reason. Either. Yeah, well, maybe he deserves that.
But there's another interesting thing about Mr. Graham, because he is a major, what would you call one of his major advocates and sponsors? McCain was his chairman for his presidential run, so they're really tied together at the hip. You may remember it was Phil Graham that gave the analogy about all those poor people that want to get on the wagon, and there's few people pulling the wagon, and there's too many people on the wagon. Yeah. These are his homey, country-ish expressions, and then him and his wife got themselves a little fancy deal that was recently in the newspapers. I don't want to even get into it.
A lot of the too many people on the wagon.
Yeah,
a lot of congressmen is now being pointed out, and they're being all of them just because the news media have to do something about their special mortgage deals at low rates or no interest. Senator Charles Rangel
from
New York City is in low rent housing.
Oh yeah.
He's in low-rent housing
because
in New York City.
He's been there for 40 years.
But what is not legal is that he's got four apartments in this premier residence. You're not supposed, and one of them is his campaign office. You're not supposed to use low-rent housing in New York City for business, even though he is the congressman from Harlem area, and this is the most prestigious apartment complex, whatever. But he has. You're not supposed to have four low-rent units. You only get the chance to do it once.
I thought those would be old buildings where you have rent control in New York.
Well, this
you
is
could have an apartment in New York that's $50 a month.
This is the most prestigious.
You've been there for 50 years, they can't get you out.
That's true. But so that was in the New York Times front page today about the Senator Rangel.
Congressman Rangel.
Congressman. He's Congressman? Yeah, okay, whatever he is. Yeah, so. Okay, right. Hillary Clinton is one of their senators from New York State.
And Schumer.
But Schumer, right, yes.
He's been a representative in Harlem for 35 years at least.
Well, as a senator, he represents all of them, brief comment. Crestwood schools are beefing up their student code of conduct. Not just cell phones that you can't bring in to school or use actively in school, but also now all the other little electronic devices, pagers, iPods, cameras, electronic cameras, smartphones, laptops,
What's
mini computers.
A smartphone is
like the iPhone, the Apple iPhone that is more like a computer. It's more like a computer. It connects with the internet.
So keep your devices in the car.
Well, it's that way, right? Because
how about a dress code?
They get to that too. That's exciting.
I'm really interested in that.
I'll get there. The first time the device is used, if you use one of these devices in school during school hours, it's supposed to be kept, first of all, in your lockers. If you can bring them in, you got to have it in the locker. But the first time it's used inappropriately during school hours, for whatever reason, you'll be required to turn the device over to the school administrator and be taken to the office. They'll be given a one-day in-school suspension. What do you do in school if you're not in school?
I think the device must be kept for a day in school. That would be the punishment.
Well, it may be true, but students will be given a one-day in-school suspension where they have them sweeping floors or, we used to be suspended by being sent to the library. Ooh, that was awful. Because all those books, there's nothing to do but read.
Suspended, you didn't come to school.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've never heard of the in-school suspension. because it means suspension. You can't go to the classes. But if you're already there, what do they have you doing? I mean, you're just taking up space. And on a second offense, I guess ever, students will receive a one-day out-of-school suspension. So you get to go home and go to a shopping center and have a great time out of school.
And keep your device.
And the third time, the device is confiscated and held until further notice, and a three-day out-of-school suspension is given. And, oh, my gosh, it just gets terrible there. But it's understandable. They do get in the way. They're always ringing, buzzing, even here at Henry Ford Community College in my classes. Like during tests, you never know if people are getting text messages and sending.
Is there a problem in the college? I mean, a prevention?
Well, it's left to the individual teacher to state on their syllabus what their policy is now. But I understand we now do have an electronics policy that is no electronics policy that's going into effect this fall. And I haven't seen it worded. I haven't seen the exact wording. But we've had to do something similar, too, if only for the sake of honesty and for the lack of distraction, of course, in classroom lectures and presentations.
Well, I would think the courtesy is to turn your cell phone off.
Right. Right. But they can't. We don't really want to even allow them to have them, you see, because we see them using them, like during a test. They could be texting somebody, even in the class or whatever, hey, what's the answer to number 7? You see what I'm saying? That's a text thing. Wouldn't have to have any sound, you know.
What's the difference? I mean, it's ridiculous. Why would you allow that?
No, you wouldn't. But I'm just saying, if the device isn't there or isn't allowed to even be brought out in the open, you know, then it's quite clear. There's no question like, what are you doing with that? Are you cheating? No, I'm getting my stock prices or something, you know. No. So there, but even just having it or seeing them use it is grounds for confiscation anyway. Anyway, the tops. Yes, tops. Headwear. Okay, get this. Headwear is not allowed in school.
Headwear?
Headwear.
You mean a hat?
Well, it's interesting. Does it mean the, what's it called, the shawls that are worn by Muslim women?
The hijab. Oh.
I wonder if they...
The kerchiefs.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says unless it's worn as part of a religious practice. Okay, but... Yeah, so that
well, the military tradition, at least in the Marines, when I was in, you uncover when you come into a building.
Mm-hmm.
You take your hat off.
Yeah, well, sure, of course, that's
now, unless curse, people are in, unless students are well, in school
there's all kinds of little
hats.
There's hats and visors. So it says hats, sunglasses, hoods are not to be worn in school, and tops. Here we go. This gets exciting. Tops that is covering the upper part of your torso must cover your midriff at all times. So no belly buttons shown.
Okay.
And in addition, of course, therefore, no halter tops, which obviously would expose your midriff. Mm-hmm. No cutoffs, tank tops, or muscle shirts are allowed, which would be, I guess, for guys. Students may not wear boxer shorts. Now we're talking about the bottoms here. Bicycle shorts or gym shorts in school.
Boxer shorts. I see.
Yeah, that's like underwear, but it's longer, right. And it's very thin, though, and it's very revealing. So, you know, yeah. Like sometimes around the house, and I think, well, if somebody comes to the door, I'm wearing these long, dark-colored boxer shorts, and, you know, they can't really see. But in a more public situation where people can stare at you,
I think the whole
it's too
dress
revealing, probably.
I think they should have one time did a professional day at Dearborn High School several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked on behalf of the American Institute of Architects to go and present the profession of architecture. The whole place was shocking to me. Mm-hmm. It looked like a day at the beach.
Mm. Yeah.
Pretty shorts, casual. They were like they were going to go to the beach. And it wasn't exactly, it sure as heck wasn't June or July.
This implies, you know, I guess you might call them tailored shorts could be worn. Doesn't say how short the tailored shorts could be, though. You know, what I'm saying is that girls have things called, well, even guys, I guess, short shorts. But it's actually clothing. It's not, you know, underwear. But so they don't talk about the length of shorts. So
that's very easy. Just do it like when I went to school. Everybody came in trousers and a sports shirt. You don't have to come in a white shirt and a tie. You wore either... what you would call today is dress slacks, I guess. Yeah. I don't even remember going to school in jeans, even.
No, that wasn't allowed in my
time. But that's
time
all
either,
you have to do is say you have to have you have to be appropriately tired.
Yeah. Everything has gotten more casual, including, you know, a workplace. Most workplaces are now fairly casual, but sport shirt and like khaki trousers, you know, casual but still not jeans, not informal clothing,
see, could be
is
jeans,
allowed at
it could
many
be,
workplaces.
Doesn't have to be. What is this? Flip-flops or shower shoes?
Well, they don't go into detail. That's my last point in this one about Crestwood's dress code that they put in place now. It's mainly been changed because of the electronic devices, but it says shoes must be worn in the classroom and throughout the school. Now, are shoes sandals?
Sandals.
Because sandals, you know, those strap on firmly. But then flip-flops, those shower togs, some of them are getting pretty well made. And is that called a shoe? Probably not, you know, because what if people do wear those really, really cheap shower togs? That looks awful. It's obvious they don't want people to be barefoot. I think there's health reasons for that. I mean, you know, but
well, no,
that makes
no
sense.
One would show up barefoot.
Should not. No,
they
no,
just
no.
want to be halfway.
I'm not clear, and the students must be asking over there, well, what about sandals? What about flip-flops? You know, so good luck, Crestwood, in keeping the standards of the times, whatever they are. Okay. We wanted to segue briefly. I want to make an actual phone call. We've got a phone interview scheduled if our equipment and high technology here at WHFR holds up. A brief comment about that editorial in the Press and Guide, Ned.
Which one were we?
The main editorial there.
The main editorial. There's a couple of interesting
ones. Wasn't there the
one I wanted
comment about wards?
Yeah, but I wanted to go to state politics. The Schubeck's comment, which is not long, but it's very important. Time to attack the state's structural deficit. This is so important. With a structural deficit in the state of Michigan, if you think driving around watching all the stores for lease, for rent, all closed, the economic future of the state of Michigan is going to be dismal. Let's see what Mr. Schubeck, that's how he pronounces
Tim,
it.
Tim Schubeck.
Schubeck. Yep. Give credit where credit is due. Members of the Michigan House of Representatives are on the campaign trail this week running for re-election. Last year at this time, they were in Lansing looking inept, out of control, and on the road to a historic temporary shutdown of state government. They were not alone. There was egg on the face of the governor, the House of Representatives, Speaker, Mr. Dillon, the Senate leader, and rank-and-file legislators. With what's left of their reputations on the line, everyone decided to do it differently this year, and they did. What did they do? With considerably less rancor, partisan backbiting, and childish behavior, everyone managed to tie a ribbon on a new $44 billion state budget that included $400 million in service cuts and no tax increases. Last year's legislative wreck was so difficult because of the $1.8 billion hole in the budget, the need to rewrite a new business tax, and a battle over raising taxes. Take all that out of this year's equation, and even this band of lawmakers could tackle the task with relative ease. There is one fight left unresolved, the state school aid budget bill. Even so, educators pretty much know they'll receive between $55 and $110 more per pupil once it is put to bed. It's unlikely none of the money will find its way into the classroom. Most of it will flow into the gas tanks of school buses instead.
Yeah, I've got to cut you off here. I did circle this article too, folks. It wasn't in... Tim Skubik hasn't been carried in the last couple of Press and Guides. At least I didn't catch him. This is a very good article. It's on the opinion page of Wednesday's Press and Guide. My point there relates to one other story that's there, and that is the new Dearborn superintendent has said that they may have to cut another $1 million because what they're expecting, and we should know this week, by the time this week is done, today's Friday, the lawmakers should have worked out how much this amount is, but they now expect it's going to be that low number, maybe only $55 increase, not the $110. And so Dearborn will have to cut another $1 million somewhere, and that's really going to hurt. Although it's
or ask the taxpayers to give you more.
Although also I heard on WDET this morning that Dearborn is reporting 9% decrease in students. So there's fewer students to educate, so I guess they can let a few more teachers go, unfortunately. I think it's always better to have more teachers and fewer students per teacher. But
well, the punchline of this whole thing ends up with, everyone knows the only way to wipe out the structural deficit is with higher taxes and more service cuts. Mm-hmm. But nobody is going to talk about that until after November, when House members are safely reelected to their $80,000 a year jobs.
Exactly. Thank you, Ned, for bringing that to our attention. And we'll see what happens with the exact amount next week and with what sort of cuts are going to be needed in Dearborn. But, yeah, I'm afraid, you know, if they don't have the revenue coming in, again, that article said there's going to be a deficit next year. Just because of the bad economic climate, they're going to have less revenues coming in by $3 billion to the state of Michigan. That's right in Scoopic's article, too. So, oh my goodness, we'll see what happens. I'm going to take these, hear these announcements and coming back with a special interview with local alternative transportation business here in Dearborn.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Wow, this is great news.
Thanks. Oh, I'm really excited.
Are you telling people yet?
I think I'll wait a little bit, just in case.
Have you told your mom yet?
Oh, not yet.
Oh, she's going to be so happy.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be so nice to finally be able to say I am quitting smoking.
Congratulations.
If you're pregnant, there's one more exciting announcement you can make to your friends and family, that you've decided to quit smoking. It's the first step you can take to protect your baby's health. We can help you quit. Call Great Start at 1-866-66-START. Brought to you by the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The 16th annual Concert of Colors will be held at the Maxim Fisher Music Center July 18th through the 20th. This family-friendly festival is free, and you'll experience over 30 bands on three stages, including artists like Toots and the Maytals, Thornetta Davis, Ricky Lee Jones, the Don Was Detroit Super Sessions, and Mavis Staples. WHFR will have a booth in the air-conditioned lobby of the Max and also be broadcasting several of the performances from the diversity stage. For more information, go to the website concertofcolors.com and join WHFR at the Max, July 18th through the 20th, for the Concert of Colors.
Okay, we're back with new WHFR Journal, and we hope we have Andy on the line. Andy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, the system is working. Wonderful. Andy, you work at Adventure Bicycles here in Dearborn on Monroe Street. Are you a salesperson, manager right now?
Salesperson, manager, mechanic expertise, yes. Everything above.
Okay. I just happened to find out about you folks because we interviewed the gentleman, I can't remember his name now, the editor-publisher of Dearborn Alternative News.
Oh, yes, Dennis.
Dennis, right.
Dennis, yes.
And Reimars, I think his last name
I
is.
I believe it is,
yeah. And you were one of the first advertisers in that, and it's a fun paper. I hope we can get to the second issue because Dearborn needs as much comedy and satire as we can get.
Yeah.
But then they have serious advertisements.
They do. They have
like
yours
too.
In there, so, yeah.
Right. Okay. Adventure Bicycles is at Monroe Street. You still there? Yes. Okay. I heard a beep. What's the cross street down there?
Cross street is like Dartmouth and Carlisle, right in between those.
Dartmouth and Carlisle. Okay. So you're. I've got Netta Piggy in here in the studio, who's my co-host today, and he was making comments. So I'll just bring his mic up a little bit, so you might hear Ned in the background or making a comment too at times. But so I know where Carlisle is. I know Adre Appliances there at Carlisle and Pelham.
Kinda,
so
kind of close to that. Yeah.
So it's south of Carlisle.
Right. South of Carlisle.
Okay. I know there used to be the Dearborn bike shop somewhere down there on Monroe, too.
It used to be right across the street, as a matter of fact.
Oh, it was right across the street.
Yeah, right across the street from the old location.
Okay, so a lot of people might be familiar with that.
Yeah, back in the early 80s, 90s, skate sharpening, they used to do everything there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always interested to see that you're family-owned, locally-owned, and that's always good for the community, I think.
Yeah, it's important. It kind of, you know, you give back to the community, and you help out the local area, and you keep the money flowing around. It's a nice feature to have.
Well, I wanted to talk to you folks just briefly today, just in regard to the ideas of alternative transportation and maybe using bicycles on a regular basis, not just for recreation, which it's great for, of course, but also for commuting, actually riding from home to work.
Very popular right now.
Yeah, it's got to be a good idea. It's got to be one of the least expensive options. I mean, most people probably know that a good maybe adult commuting bicycle might be at least $300 or $400, maybe up to $800 to $1,000. I mean, that's just reasonable.
You can go up as high as you want.
Oh, yeah, but, of course. Yeah.
It is a good alternative to gas. You know, you can use your existing bike, or you can buy a new bike. And either way that you do it, it's going to save you in the long run, no matter what. Plus, it'll give you, you know, your exercise and everything that you need during the day.
Exactly. And, you know, some people say, well, what if it rains? Well, you know, we don't melt unless we're witches or warlocks or something. We don't melt. And so
they melt? I didn't know that.
Well, in Wizard of Oz, they do. Yeah, Wizard of Oz. Okay, that's the only witch reference that I know of, you know. That movie. The Wicked Witch. I don't know if the Good Witch melts in the rain.
No. As a matter of fact, I believe you see her riding a bike in the film as well.
That's right.
Getting in tornadoes.
Oh, yeah, there's another connection there. But
I have a question about bikes.
This is Ned.
Sure.
Where do you get those kinds that you see people, usually an elderly gentleman sitting almost like in a chair? It's very low, and he's pumping forward, not up and down. What is that? Where do you buy one of those things?
Boy, those are kind of a specialized bike. They're a recumbent bike.
What are they called?
Recumbent.
Like reclining? You know, the sort of recumbent kind of like is reclining, but yeah.
It's like,
well, I think Ned was saying that in that one, though, he was using his arms rather than his feet.
This guy was pedaling that I
saw. Oh, he was pedaling. Okay.
All and right. then you're in a seated position.
Yes. Yeah, almost like a Adirondack lawn chair or something.
Yep.
You're sitting back. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're pretty specialized. They're pretty expensive, but they're really nice to ride on. No effort whatsoever.
I have done a little research. There is a company, and they don't have a dealer nearby, so don't worry. There's no competition there, but they can look it up on the internet. They look up recumbent bicycles, and there's one. I think they manufacture them in the Grand Rapids area. You can even go to the factory. And some of them are actually three wheels, Ned.
Yes, the back wheel
Either two in the back and one in the front, or two in the front and one in the back. But the problem is I don't think there's quite as maneuverable on streets or getting around things.
That's right. A lot of people use them for touring, you know, going cross-country and everything, because they're really comfortable to ride. They can carry some weight.
I thought you could put a basket behind you, and you could actually go shopping and pick up things and leave the car at home for short.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I saw a lot of those.
Any bikes can have those add-ons, and of course, they're available at your friendly bike shop. What about bike repairs? I mean, a lot of people are, you know, they got a bicycle already, but it doesn't quite work right, or it doesn't. I've got one right now, and it doesn't stop. I had pads replaced, but it's probably just tightening the tension on the wires,
the cables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so you folks do all of that?
Absolutely. I do whatever your bike needs done to get it up and rolling or for you to feel safe on it. That's the most important part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not that expensive, folks. I'm talking about all bike shops around here. It's really very little bit of money can make the bike that you perhaps already have, like compared to a gallon, a tank of gas or something. For a tank of gas, you can probably get the bike you already have in really good shape.
Maybe oh,
a softer saddle or something, or whatever it takes. You know, to
more comfortable grips or. Or up, you know, smoother tires so you can take the roads a whole lot faster. Anything of that will greatly increase your commuting power.
Yeah. What do you suggest to people about bicycle safety rules? Or do you stay away from that, or do you have little pamphlets you give out?
Uh-huh. Bit. You know, helmets obviously are the a major component of the safety factor. I always say that helmets are cheaper than hospital bills. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's definitely that. And then, you know, just using common sense, especially if you're riding on the road, most people ride like every single car sees them and every single driver sees them. Well, that's not entirely the case. You know, you kind of have to ride mostly defensive or ride almost as if no one sees you.
Mm-hmm.
Lights, helmets, reflectors on air, using the right proper hand signals when you're making turns, making all the stops that a car would do at a stop sign or a yield sign or a light, don't blow through it. They'll give a bad name to all cyclists.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think there is a bicycle safety manual that maybe the city of Dearborn gives out.
There's one that the state gives out from the,
the state.
League of Bicyclists.
Okay, so. Right. Yes, we've had one of their representatives on the on the show, too. And that would be a cool thing to do also for people. They want to know more. They should join one of the nonprofit organizations like Michigan League of Bicyclists. And is there a Dearborn Biking or Cyclist Association for average people?
There isn't currently, but there's a lot of information online that you can find. There's a Michigan site. You mentioned the League of Bicyclists.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the Michigan Mountain Biking Association as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. For around-town commuting, would you recommend more a mountain bike style with the bigger tires than the small tires, for example?
I would recommend just whatever bike that you have. I like seeing people out and riding. You can ride with just about anything. You know, a bigger tire is going to make things a little bit easier to ride on, but a mountain bike is a perfect setup for commuting because it can carry weight. If you want to put a rack and panniers or the saddlebags on the back, or if you just want to go around for groceries and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the most comfortable because you're kind of leaned over the handlebars, but they do make hybrid bikes, which I sell, and you're sitting upright in the saddle, very comfortable ride, and that is very popular as well.
Well, we wish you and your new business, how long has bicycling been there?
A little bit over a year now.
Okay.
Yeah, we celebrated our year in May.
And we always wish all local businesses well and getting the word out about themselves. And,
well, I appreciate
and,
it.
And, of course, helping people learn more about some really, really important choices they may have to make about alternative transportation in the
lifestyle
area, too.
Lifestyle and financial choices.
Yeah. Now, I happen to know your website is adventurebicyclesaltogether.net.
.net,
N-E-T. And again, they're at 3806 Monroe Street, just south of Carlisle. So thank you, Andy, for giving us those tips.
Oh, and, thank you for having me.
And maybe I'll see you in the future myself.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Andy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was nice. And it did prove our equipment works because next week we're going to be at the Concert of Colors. That's right, Concert of Colors.
This week it works. Next week it may not.
Hey. No, we're going to have very good luck next weekend. We're talking about 3 days of not only physically being down there, and I think Susan Garrett and myself are going to pre-record this show, but only an hour earlier, so that no news can happen between the... Can it? Within, you know, 1 o'clock between the time we finish the pre-recorded show, but we've got to start taking equipment and all of our promotional items down for three big days at the Concert of Colors, which is located in the Max M. Fisher Center.
And I'm going to miss it, unfortunately.
Oh,
I'm out
man.
Of town that whole weekend.
So were you able to get down there last year?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, it's beautiful. You've probably been to Orchestra Hall.
Oh, yeah.
You know how lovely that is.
Sure.
And the other small performance venue, which they call the Music Box, or we call the Diversity Stage during this event, we're going to be broadcasting live for 3 hours on Friday afternoon and evening, and 5 or 6 hours on Saturday and Sunday afternoon and early evening. The only station in town to be giving you that taste of just a portion of all the music from all the stages that are going to be performing down there that weekend, all different kinds of music. And it's all free. We love that free stuff, right? Admission to all these different, even admission to the concerts in the beautiful orchestra hall.
Parking may not be free.
That's right. There is free parking in that area. It's Woodward Avenue, north of the 94 interchange there. Sometimes on Woodward you can find some parking, or further over the neighborhoods. I would suggest, not because of security issues, but just because it's closer. It's only $1 or $2 to park in one of the gated lots that are right immediately around there on that west side of Woodward around the Max M. Fisher complex.
So, there's one right across the street.
Yes, there are several parking structures there in that area anyway. So whatever is good for people. But the entertainment's free. There's food, both reasonably priced inside the building available, as well as outside on the street, where there's also what they call the rhythm stage, which has a lot of fun performers. They always think of rhythm as just people that play drums, but a lot of great performers that are oriented more for the kids. And there's vendors, selling all kinds of stuff, as well as food out there too. So a fun time will be had by all, and we'll be broadcasting that live next weekend, the 18th, 19th, and 20th, late afternoon and evening here from WHFR.
We won't be the only station, will we?
We'll be the only station broadcasting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're the only ones that have the right to broadcast any of that live. We hope you do go in person, but if you just can't, or you want to catch something on the diversity stage, then so be it. So see you down there, as they say. I'll be down there all day Friday, and I think most of Sunday, by the way, too. Here's a comment. They have an editorial writer in the Pressing Guide from last Wednesday. His name is Michael Albano. And as it says here, Michael Albano was raised in Dearborn and then spent 24 years working and living in California. Recently returned to Dearborn and describes himself as an unabashed supporter of it. Well, last week's article by him pointed out what he thought ought to be improved. And Michael, you and I agree. In fact, maybe we're listening to my show.
Improved in what?
Well, in terms of business area, West Dearborn needs a movie theater or something like that to entertain people and bring people in. He even had an idea of a...
they just closed one, the one that was Telegraph.
I know. Well, that's even a little further away from the West Dearborn area. But yes, that's a shame. He also talked about, we're talking about biking. This is the segue, as they talk about, folks, the transition. Biking in Dearborn, as he pointed out, the sidewalks along these main sections, Michigan Avenue, east-west, especially for commuting. You want to commute, I'm afraid, on the road. I know that seems risky, but the sidewalks are terrible.
I was going to say, he's not promoting that.
There's big cracks. There is bushes that are untended. I don't know if the state of Michigan, they should cut back on these things that stick out and hit you in the face along. I'm thinking of the southern sidewalk there that runs Michigan Avenue east-west, because the north side you're interrupted by Fairlane Town Center roads, and there's no sidewalk that goes across there. So if you want to make it fast east-west, and I've ridden this many times on my bike, it's just terrible. It's awful. And if people want to commute but they want to avoid the road, you need a bike path, folks. City of Dearborn, I think we can afford a bike path, can't we? Give me a break, or just squeeze the lanes a little tighter and give us 3 feet marked off on the right side there. But then they had to do it on the left side too. I mean, something has to change if they want to encourage bicyclists to commute. This sort of idea, bikes are just for, going real slow and having fun around your neighborhood. Bikes are great for commuting. It's used all around the world. And unfortunately, China massively is giving up on bikes now to turn to cars. And look at the pollution, at the Olympic event. They're still fighting day by day. You'll see this on the big news channels. What's the weather like in, what's their main city? Is it Peking?
Smog.
It's all smog. It's the worst. Yeah, Beijing, right there. It's the worst it's ever been. They've been trying to clean it up quick before the Olympics. And why is that? Is because the people there, for status reasons, are giving up on their bicycles and going to cars. because now they can afford it. It's a status symbol, and it's a, and of course they're using gas like crazy.
Coal-fired electric planes.
That's true too, as Ned points out, a little bit off the mic there, Ned. So anyway, we heard you. I heard you. It's okay. And so anyway, you might want to read Michael about it. He's talking about the good things about the cruises around Dearborn this week. And he also mentions the other columnist that sometimes is in the paper, whose name is Saeed Deep. I think it's pronounced Saeed. And his website is deepsaidwhat.com. So what did he say? It's a little pun on his name. And Michael Albano is even recommending certain bars and restaurants he likes, which we won't plug here. And he says it's really, it's too bad about Hakeem Fakhouri, and he's got all these developments in West Dearborn, and nobody's buying his lofts and other places. It's not working out for him too well. Well, it's, as Ned said, we may quote him here, bad business climate, you know.
So. I've always found that loft idea is a misnomer. It's usually an old factory that's converted into a... an apartment, not a brand new building. You call the apartment a loft.
Well, it doesn't look like a residential loft. I mean, it says lofts available, and it's like the second floor at is it Michigan Miller's? And Military, yeah, I think. And it doesn't look like a home or a luxury type of location for an apartment. And I like the idea of lofts. I love the high ceilings and the fact that you don't have many rooms. You subdivide the space inside that area yourself. You know, like you have a...
It comes from another use that you're reusing.
That's right, like in a warehouse or something. Like you have your dining area, your kitchen area, but it can be seen from your living room area, and maybe the bed and the bedroom area is off to the side and pretty much visible. The only thing you might have separated and closed off is, like, of course, the bathroom area. But so it's a cool idea. It can save on floor space, and it's very trendy in other urban cities, but it doesn't look like a loft anybody would want to live in, and it's so much right on top of the two main streets there. Even though it's on the second floor, I think you want to keep your blinds pulled most of the time. So good luck to all our business people, though.
The question is, what do you look at when you look out the window?
Yeah. Here's a couple of other West Dearborn developments, and I don't know if... let's see here. Ned, why don't you take a look at that and share that? This is about, we talked about internet access in West Dearborn, and that just came out from the city of Dearborn, that press release today. If you just want to read a little for our listeners.
Dearborn, Michigan. West Dearborn's downtown business district is offering free wireless internet access thanks to a new initiative called Open Dearborn. Funded by the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority and administered by the City of Dearborn's Management Information Systems Department, Open Dearborn is designed to make West Downtown even more appealing to those looking for great shopping, dining, and nightlife opportunities. Internet access is provided by a network of nodes placed around the West Downtown District to blanket the entire area. Most are in a place now people are accessing the internet through them every day. I really don't know how, unless you're seated in some... What would you do? Walk around with your laptop?
Well, I wonder, are you going to use your... Of course, again, you use the smartphones, like the Apple iPhone connects to the internet, and it does it really fast if you're in one of these Wi-Fi hotspots. But, if you're out for a pleasant dinner, you want to be on the internet while you're eating dinner with as a social event with other people? I don't think so.
The coffee shop, like Panera's, has an area, and some others, you sit there and have your coffee.
It's apparently everywhere within those several blocks of West Dearborn. It looks like another week or two, they're going to get the other so-called nodes in place to give a blanket.
I suppose
connection,
if you're in a parked car, you could pull your laptop up and use it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's free anywhere. You don't have to get a passcode or anything like that in that area. So, of course, if you want to park somewhere, you have to put money in the meter. But that cost is very small. They got a couple grants in West Dearborn.
$5,000. The funding is to purchase necessary hardware up to $5,000. To create the system of access points that blankets the West Downtown area.
Right.
The access nodes are being installed, tested, and monitored by the MIS department. To date, only about $1,000 has been needed to spend to create the access network.
Yeah, only $1,000. And I brought this up to, well, the last two mayors of Dearborn, Mayor O'Reilly and Mayor Guido, that many cities have taken the initiative to make the entire city a Wi-Fi zone for the internet. And if you have a computer, either desktop or a portable, that has the connection to receive these wireless signals.
That means I can give up my $40 service?
That's right. You can get the internet for free in your home, in your apartment, in these buildings, West Dearborn, everywhere. Why not do it citywide? Well, two reasons. Okay, I had to think this through. I mean, I'm totally in favor of that.
Saves me $40 a month.
But you need a company willing to come in to do all those nodes and then to maintain it. And this was what happened just a couple weeks ago in Philadelphia. They were going to be the first major city to have Wi-Fi for everybody. In Philadelphia, well, millions and millions of people, what, 5, 10, 15, 20 million people. It was all going to be a Wi-Fi zone. The city was going to pay for it. I know in Dearborn, somebody priced it out as only $1 million or $2 million for the whole city. For the whole city. And then we, the taxpayers, wouldn't have to pay our $30, $40 a month for the internet as long as we had a computer that had the wireless receiver and transmitter, you know, a little attachment, not that expensive to get one, $50, $100 at most.
Unless you have a wireless.
Well, if you have a laptop, they pretty much already have it built in.
Mine is wireless. So.
Yeah, well, you've got one of those Apple machines.
Yeah. Well,
they have everything in them. Well, so do I. But
don't the other ones have?
Yes, pretty much every laptop these days will have the wireless connection built in, although check to make sure, ask before you buy it. But maybe some of the least expensive laptops may leave that out. But generally, it's always built-in laptops. But what happened in Philadelphia is their service, their installer and their maintainer was Earthlink. I didn't know they were still around. But Earthlink said, no, we're backing out. At the last second, they backed out. Now, Philadelphia can't go ahead. It was a major, major project, and Earthlink was going to be paid, but they said, well, we can't really make that big a profit margin.
Wouldn't they have the advertising ability? The same thing as you have MSN?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, if you're providing that.
You open up MSN, you get advertising.
If you're providing that link, you'd provide a portal. That is a first page that everybody would see. But somehow Earthlink said, we can't make enough money on it, so forget it. And so Philadelphia can't go ahead now. And I think that's really, really unfortunate for whatever reasons. But it's not going to cost any city that much. Wouldn't we all as taxpayers want to have that happen for our city? So as Ned said, he's paying $30, $40. I'm paying $30, $40 for internet at my house. All of us would save. That's $360 a year. You know, willing to pay a couple more bucks in taxes every year for the whole city. Just do it and get it done. You know, but of course that will make some of the internet providers unhappy, and the businesses, of course,
well, somebody's got to have the business. One of them's going to get it,
right? But I mean, the individual businesses that have these Wi-Fi zones that they paid some significant money for, they want to be special. They want to say, "Come here, and you'll get it for free." So, you know, who knows?
Well, who knows?
Yeah, it's time to go, folks. Ned's pointing to the clock on the wall. Just one last thing.
We still have 3 minutes.
Two last things I have here. This again from the city department today. Now online, you can report some types of incidents to the Dearborn Police Department. Okay, you go to cityofdearborn.org, not dearbornpolice.anything, to cityofdearborn.org. If you live in Dearborn, you can only report Dearborn area, you know, Dearborn city
transgressions.
Problems. And here are the problems. Can't do all of them, okay? But property stolen from vehicles, stolen cell phones, harassing telephone calls. Yeah, you can report that to the Dearborn Police. Traffic complaints and private property accident reports, as well as, anonymous tips. Anonymous tips.
That would be the big one.
Yeah. Okay, so vandalism and different kinds of thefts and lost property, you can go to the internet, go to public safety section at cityofdearborn.org. And remember, though, they say, there are laws prohibiting the filing of false police reports. So you can become a criminal yourself if you claim something happened and it didn't. And that applies to the people using the online reporting system, too, not just the phone calls.
You'd be picking up paper in the boulevard and the highway.
That's what they used to do, yeah. I think they still do that, yeah.
Yeah, the Wayne County courts.
Okay, my last comment before the new WHFR Journal comes to an end for this week, and our great blues show with Joanne Korchinska is coming right up at 2 o'clock from 2 to 6 today. It seems that Toyota has too many trucks.
Yeah, and they're closing
their plants for a few months, and some are in this country too. And that's 4,000 employees will be affected at Toyota plants in this country.
Do they get paid?
Well, that's it. That's what I circled this for. This is in the New York Times today. Their employees will be not making trucks from August 8th, okay, until early November. So September, October, November, 3 whole months off. But they will be paid, and they'll be paid to also attend training sessions during the shutdowns to make them better employees and to understand procedures. So they'll have to go to classes, but they get their full regular pay. Is that cool or what?
When you got a lot of money?
Right. You see, even though, yeah, it's true that even
they got
though,
all the money. Now.
Yeah, Toyota, because they're still making profits, they did have to rightly cut back on trucks because they got so many of their big trucks, which they started trying to be competitive with Detroit.
The American market.
Oh, they got too many of them. They got the Sequoias and the super big Tundras. And yeah, well, their sales have dropped like crazy, so they're taking a few months off. But I guess because they do have some profit already, and they're hybrids, they're going to start a new factory in Mississippi in 2010. Because everybody wants one of those Prius gas electric hybrids, and they should have been making a lot more of those in the first place. No.
Oh,
but I'm just saying that overall, there's more people that want the hybrid Prius.
I saw one the other day that doesn't look like the Prius all of us know, and had Prius written on it. Is that it can't be an older one, and it can't be a newer one.
No, they've kept the same. They kept the same design. It's just a little bit the tail lights, headlights are a little different, I think. It's still pretty much that same sort of bubble-shaped four-passenger or five-passenger vehicle, whatever.